Good evening. This is a further tape in the Logos Publications Bible Marking Tape Service. At the present moment, we are considering the names and titles of deity. And previous tapes have considered in particular the use of the word ale. We have suggested that you colour in with a distinguishing colour, perhaps with red pencil, every occurrence of this word in the Bible, in order that you may instantly determine where the title is used. We have pointed out in earlier tapes the meaning of this title, ale, and the way in which it is used in the scriptures. Our last tape took us to Psalm 52, verses 1 to 5. And in this tape we continue at Psalm 55 and verse 19, where the word occurs again. And there we learn that God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Here again the name is ale, and it is speaking of deity in the sense of strength or power. And it is this powerful, strong one who shall hear them and afflict them. Our next verse is Psalm 57, verse 2. I will cry unto God most high, and to God, ale, that performeth all things for me. In this verse you have the word God used twice. The first occurrence is the word Elohim. The second time it is the word ale. And as we have pointed out in earlier tapes, the word ale signifies strength or power. And you can see the significance of it in the usage of in this verse. Unto ale that performeth all things for me. Because he has the strength or the power to do this. We pass on to Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Thou art my strength, thou art my ale. And so the word again is ale. And here again we can clearly see the significance of the use of this title in this particular verse. Thou art my ale, or my strength, and therefore early will I seek thee. Now we pass on to Psalm 68. And in Psalm 68 we have four occurrences of this word. We have it first of all in verse 19, which speaks of the God of our salvation. The word is ale, and it's the strength of our salvation. He can save us because of his power. We have it again in verse 20. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And in both these occurrences, the word is ale. He that is our strength is the strength of salvation. And unto Yahweh, the Lord, belong the issues from death. Notice in verse 21, the word God occurs, but here again the word is Elohim. In verse 24, we have the word ale. They have seen thy goings, O Elohim, even the goings of my God, my ale, my king, in the sanctuary. So we have the word Elohim, a plural word, meaning mighty ones, and we have the word ale, signifying strength. And these mighty ones manifest the strength of he who is the great increator. So the psalmist says, they have seen thy goings, O Elohim, even the goings of my ale. The Elohim referred to here relate to the saints in the age to come. They will manifest the mighty power of Yahweh, so that in them will be seen the goings of ale, the goings of divine power or strength. Verse 35 is the next occurrence of this word. Here again we have the word God occurring three times. The first and the last relate to Elohim. The second occurrence is the word ale. O God, O Elohim, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The strength of Israel, the God of Israel, the ale of Israel, is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. So here again we have the word ale. The ale of Israel, the strength of Israel. You notice in passing that Israel is formed of this same word ale. So we have the strength of Israel. We pass on to Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, there are two occurrences of this title. In verse 11, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? And the word God is ale. How doth ale know? Well, if they understood the meaning of the title, ale, if they understood what mighty power it denotes, they should not ask such a foolish question as that. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of ale, the sanctuary of God, but not God in the sense of just one whom one worships, but God in the sense of one who is all-powerful, the mighty one. When he went into the sanctuary of ale, then he understood the end of the foolish people about him. And the mighty power of Yahweh was manifest unto him in the glorious purpose that he has revealed unto such as trust in his name. And so he went into the sanctuary of strength, the sanctuary of ale. We come to Psalm 74 and verse 8. They have burned up all the synagogues of ale in the land. Here again the word that title is used, the synagogues of ale in the land. They have burnt these up, and in burning up the synagogues of ale, they have dared to oppose Yahweh, whose strength would destroy them ultimately. We pass on to Psalm 77. Here we have three occurrences. Verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? And the word is ale, a reminder that he has the strength to be gracious. Verse 13, thy way, O Elohim, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a power as our Elohim? Who is so great a ale? The word is ale there, and it signifies strength or power. So he is asking the question, who is so mighty in power as our Elohim? And then again in verse 14, we have the occurrence once more. Thou art the ale that doest wonders. So he sees Almighty God as that strong one, that powerful one, whose might is revealed in the wonders that he performs. 78, Psalm 78 is our next consideration. And here again it occurs quite frequently. In verse 7, the psalmist speaks of the works of ale, the works of power. He speaks of certain who forget not the works of ale, but keep his commandments. They remember his mighty acts in the past. In verse 8, he speaks of those whose spirit was not steadfast with ale, with God. In verse 18, they tempted ale in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They tempted God. They tempted the one whose mighty power had been manifest in the dividing of the Red Sea and the destroying of Pharaoh's host. They tempted this mighty power by asking in their heart, was it possible for this mighty one to provide meat? Was his strength and power that great that he could provide meat? What a foolish action on the behalf of the people of Israel. In verse 19, yea, they spake against Elohim, that is, Yahweh manifest in his angels. They spake against him, saying, can ale furnish a table in the wilderness? Is his strength great enough for that? And so they limited, as we read in this psalm, they limited the Holy One of Israel. We pass on to verse 34 in this psalm. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after ale, after God. They returned and they inquired early after him because they wanted to rest upon his strength and power. Verse 35, and they remembered that Elohim was their rock, and the high ale their redeemer. And here they remember the strength of he who can purchase them, who can reveal them. And now they see him as one of might and strength. In verse 41, they turned back and tempted ale. and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not understand the meaning of that title. Now that's the thing that we must come to comprehend, the significance of the title. As we pointed out when we commenced this study, the name Ael signifies might and power in bold relief. Not ordinary power, not ordinary might, as we might see it manifested among flesh, but almighty power. Might that stems from Yahweh himself. Now it is that power, that one whom they tempted. They turned back and tempted Ael, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They thought there was something that he could not do on their behalf. And that was the basic trouble of Israel in its wilderness wanderings. The next place is Psalm 81, and we go to verse 9. And here the psalmist speaks of a strange God. And the word is Ael again, a strange God. Psalm 83 and verse 1. Keep not thou silent, O Elohim, hold not thy peace, and build not still, O Ael, O mighty one, O strength. And so the prayer is that this mighty one of the heavens should exert himself against the enemies of Israel. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. And therefore be not still, O power, O might, and let thy might and power be manifested against these people. Psalm 84, verse 2. My flesh crieth out for the living strength, the living Ael. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what Ael, Yahweh, will speak, the strength of he who will be. I will hear what he will speak. And so here we have, as it were, and the title Ael joined to the name Yahweh. Remember that we pointed out in an earlier tape that the name Yahweh signifies he who will be. Now here we have the title of Ael joined to that name, he who will be. And when we join the title to the name, we have this statement, the strength of he who will be. And so the psalmist says, I will hear what Ael, Yahweh, will speak. Now here is the strength of him who will be revealed and manifested in that glorified host of redeemed ones. Thus he has the strength to establish what his name proposes to do. Psalm 86 verse 15 is our next place. Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Now this word here again is Ael. It signifies might or power. But here is a might or power full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. They'd seen that power manifested in anger against their enemies. They'd seen the revelation of that power destroying those that would set themselves up against Yahweh. But now they know that power to be full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And as we consider this name of this title of deity, let us remember that that mighty power that is locked in that name, that is manifested by Yahweh in the heavens, this divine power that can crash and destroy a world, is also powerful to redeem, is powerful to have compassion on us and to help us and to forgive our sins and to blot them out of the book of his remembrance. We pass on to Psalm 89. And in Psalm 89, in verse 7, Ael is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. And that is how it should be in the ecclesia today. We should recognize the strength and the might and the power of he whom we serve. That when we turn to him in prayer, it is not someone who is powerless. It is someone who holds in his hands mighty power. He is Ael. He is the first cause. He is the one that holds all the universe together by his strength. So Ael is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Verse 26 of the same chapter. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my strength, and the rock of my salvation. This is a messianic psalm pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the figure here we have David representing the Lord Jesus Christ and crying unto Yahweh, "Thou art my Father, my strength and the rock of my salvation." And the strength of Yahweh was manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the strength of Yahweh was manifest in him, therefore he was enabled to overcome. It was that strength that gave the Lord the victory. And it's only as we draw upon that same strength that we will attain unto the victory ultimately. Psalm 90 verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. But the word's ail. Thou art power. Thou art strength. So before the mountains were brought forth, before the acts of creation brought this earth into existence, before these things had ever happened, there was that mighty power manifested from everlasting and will continue to everlasting. Psalm 94 and verse 1. Yahweh Ael, to whom vengeance belongeth. O Ael, to whom vengeance belongeth. Here again we have the title joined to the name of deity. The strength of he who will be, to whom vengeance belongeth. O Ael, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. And the use of the title in this context demonstrates that he has the strength to extend himself against his enemies. He has the strength to exert vengeance against them that hate him. The next psalm, Psalm 95 and verse 3, we read that Yahweh is a great Ael and a great king above all Elohim. He is a great Ael. His strength is great. So in this verse we are told concerning Yahweh that he is not only a great king above all Elohim, above the angels and above those leaders of Israel who were appointed positions of authority, but he is a great power. He is the great Ael of the heavens. Psalm 99 and verse 8. Thou answerest them, O Yahweh, O Elohim, thou wast Ael that forgavest them. And here we have the title Ael used in that relationship. We referred to it a little earlier. Now here is the strength that can forgive. And though he takes vengeance on their inventions, yet he can forgive those that put their trust in him. So here we see this mighty power, this strength, manifested in two ways, in taking vengeance and forgiving. It's the same power, the same strength that is able to take vengeance or to forgive. Psalm 102 and verse 24. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. And the word is Ael. It's a prayer that the strength of deity might be manifest on behalf of the psalmist, that he should be preserved in the land of the living because he felt that his work of service before his God had not been completed and he wanted that additional time. We go on to Psalm 104 and verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God, from Ael. Of course, we know that the young lions know nothing of God. They know nothing of Ael. But nonetheless, they seek their meat from Ael in this sense, that it is the strength of deity, his mighty power, that provides all his creation with what they need. So on every side, you see, we see manifestations of this mighty power that stems from heaven. In all the acts of creation that we see on every hand, there is a revelation of Ael. Psalm 106 and verse 14. Speaking again of the Israel in the wilderness and their wickedness, the psalmist says that they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted Ael in the desert. We've referred to the significance of such a statement as this in an earlier reference. Verse 21, they forgot Ael their Saviour, which had done great things in Egypt. Again, we invite you to look carefully at that verse and see how appropriate the use of the title Ael is in relation to the context. Yahweh is their Saviour. He has power to save them. And therefore, Ael is their Saviour. It is the one that did great things in Egypt, that poured out the plagues upon Pharaoh, that divided the Red Sea, that destroyed Pharaoh's hosts. All that mighty manifestation of power was revealed in Egypt. And that same power is available to Israel as their Saviour. It reminds us, does it not, that when we turn to God, we turn to one who is very powerful, whose mighty acts of creation are seen on every side, whose manifestations of power are seen in all natural creation, and yet whose greater strength and power is available to us, that we might be forgiven our sins, that we might be built up in our faith, that we might be guided and directed even unto the coming of the kingdom. We go to Psalm 107 and verse 11. Again, a verse relating to Israel. They rebelled against the words of power, against words of God. But they are words of power because they are words of Ael. Psalm 118, verse 27. God is the Lord, or strength is Yahweh. Strong is Yahweh. Or, Ael, Yahweh, showed us light. The strength of he who will be, which hath showed us light. The word is, you notice, is in italics. That indicates that there is no corresponding word in the Hebrew. So we can eliminate the word is, and we can join the word Ael with the word Yahweh. And we have the statement, the strength of he who will be hath showed us light. And who's the strength of he who is manifested in the elect? Who but the Lord Jesus Christ? He manifests the strength of Yahweh and will manifest it when he returns to this earth. Verse 28, thou art my God, thou art my strength, my Ael, and I will praise thee. Thou art my Elohim, and I will exalt thee. So, first of all, the psalmist says that Yahweh is his strength, and then Yahweh is his Elohim. Yahweh is his strength, and Yahweh will be manifest in that multitudinous host of glorified ones who are to be equal unto the angels in the age to come. Psalm 136 is our next reference. I hope you are marking these in your Bible as you go along. It is good to have a pencil with you, and as I make reference to these verses, mark them in your Bible. Just colour them in and put in the index in the front of your Bible the outline of the significance of this particular word. You have received, no doubt, the printed sheet in which we have outlined the various names and titles of deity. Well, you can cut that sheet down to measure a wide margin Bible and fit it in the front of your Bible. And then you can indicate by colour which word is Ael or which word is Eloah. As I have said before, we're only going to deal with those words that are used relatively a few number of times. We won't touch upon Elohim. But the whole scope of this you will see as we develop it. But I do hope that you are marking these places in as we go along from verse by verse. So we turn to Psalm 136 and verse 26. And there we read, O give thanks to the God of heaven. The word is the Ael of heaven, the strength of heaven. And it's good to remember that he is strong. Psalm 139. And here we have two or three references. Verse 17, first of all, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Ael, how great is the sum of them. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. And there again the word is Ael. Our next reference is Psalm 140. And in verse 6 we read, I said unto Yahweh, Thou art my God, Thou art my strength. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Yahweh. So the psalmist is praying unto him to hearken to his supplications, because Yahweh is strength. He has the power to perform that whichever he might ask of him. Psalm 146 and verse 5. I'm sorry, that is a wrong quotation. Oh, no, no. Psalm 146 and verse 5. I was looking at Psalm 145 when I was speaking to you then. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Yahweh his Elohim. Happy is he that hath the Isle of Jacob, the strength of Jacob. Now you consider this title is rather a beautiful one. You consider Jacob the supplanter, the boy who was driven from home, the boy who was hated of his brother, the man that went to Laban and time again was robbed, the man that had to flee from the household of Laban, that went back into the land a fugitive, fearful of his brother, the man against whom the most of the people of the land rose against at one time or another. But the man that came through, and at the end of his life, speaking to Joseph in relation to his two sons, spake of the angel that had overshadowed him all the days of his life. Just have a look at what he says concerning this back in Genesis chapter 48, and you can see the sense of the use of the term the ale or the strength of Jacob. In Psalm in Genesis chapter 48 verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lands. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. He was conscious of the mighty power of Yahweh manifested through his angel. And so, Psalm 146 and verse 5, bearing that in mind, says, happy is he that hath the Isle of Jacob for his help. Happy is he who hath the strength of Jacob for his help. And the one that has the strength of Jacob for his help has that which is adequate to meet with every situation in life. Psalm 149 is our next reference, and again, verse 6. Let the high praises of ale be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in the hand. Now this is speaking of the saints in the age to come, when they will have seen the fruits of victory. And the high praises of ale will then be in their mouth, because they will be praising him whose mighty power has reduced to impotence the might of Gog, whose mighty power has brought into existence the culmination of the divine purpose. And the high praises of ale will be in the mouths of all the saints at that time. Our final reference in the Psalms is Psalm 150 and verse 2, verse 1. Praise ye Yahweh, praise ale in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. And so when we go into the sanctuary, says the psalmist, we will praise ale, because we will see him as the powerful one. We will appreciate his mighty strength, his mighty power. And thus we will praise ale in the sanctuary. Now that completes our treatise of this subject as far as the psalm is concerned. And now we pass on to the prophecy of Isaiah. I am commenting on each of these references as we go along, not that I want to delay your time, but because I feel that it helps us to appreciate better the significance of the titles wherever they appear. And also, in addition to that, you have time to mark your Bible in with colour at these particular places. And thus, as we go through these verses, you can mark up as we go. So we pass on to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 16. And there we read that Yahweh of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and all that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. So here is the holy power of Yahweh. The all that is holy, the power that is set apart to perform the wonders that he has in store for those that love him. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For ale is with us. Ale is with us. Now look at verse 8. Notice the use of the word Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. So actually, in verse 10, you have the same statement. It shall not stand because of Emmanuel. And so, instead of Emmanuel, we have God or ale is with us. If you turn over at this stage to the first chapter of Matthew, you will see how that Matthew links the title with its meaning. So we read in verse 23 of Matthew 1, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So here we have it in Isaiah 8 and verse 10. Ale is with us, Emmanuel. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, we read one of his names is the Mighty God. The word again is ale, power. The word mighty is gibor. So we have the mighty warrior, as Brother Thomas translates it. Not the mighty God, but the mighty warrior, or the warrior of power, the warrior of ale. So ale gibor is one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also one of the names of the angel, because Gabriel is compounded of these two words, ale gibor, meaning mighty warrior, or warrior of ale. One of the names of Jesus will be the warrior of ale. Our next reference is Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 21. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Here the word is ale, and we have the same title as we have in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, where the term mighty God is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pointed out there that the word was ale gibor, and here we are told that the remnant shall return to the mighty God, that is, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 12 and verse 2. Behold, God is with my salvation, I will trust. Or if we eliminate the word in italics, the word is, Behold, ale my salvation, I will trust. And the prophet contrasts because his salvation is stemming from that mighty power in the heavens. Chapter 14 and verse 13. Here we have the words of Lucifer. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Here the word is ale, speaking of power. So we have an expression of his presumption in this verse that he is going to exalt his throne above the stars of God. Our next reference is the 31st chapter of Isaiah and verse 3. And here we have a very significant verse in relation to the word ale. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh. Israel was putting its trust in Egypt at this particular time, hoping that in Egypt they might have the strength to resist the Assyrians from the north. But as the prophet points out, the Egyptians are men and not ale. They're not strength, they're not power, and it was useless putting any trust in them. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 18. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Here again the word is ale. When we recognize that, we can see the significance of this verse, because the prophet is not saying to whom will we liken God, in the sense that God is merely an object of worship, but he is using a title that defines God as one of great power. To whom then will ye liken ale, this great power of the universe? And to whom and to what likeness will ye compare him? And so the whole chapter emphasizes the mighty power of Yahweh, whom he served, and who directs all the forces of nature. The 42nd chapter of Isaiah and verse 5. Thus saith El Yahweh, the strength of he who will be that created the heavens. Thus saith the strength of he who will be that created the heavens and stretched them out. Whenever I read these verses, I interpret them in my mind in that way. Having marked up my Bible on the names and titles of deity, even though I might read, when I am reading to anybody, the words of the Authorized Version, such as, thus saith God, the Lord, he that stretched the heavens, in my mind I am saying, El Yahweh. And my mind is interpreting that as the strength of he who will be that stretched out the heavens. And so as I read that verse, I see the great Creator as the mighty power of the heavens, who is going to be manifested in the glorious host of immortal ones, his divine family on earth, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though I may not express that in words, that is what my mind is telling me as I read such a reference as that before us at the present moment. We go to the next chapter of Isaiah, and here there are a couple of examples of the use of this word. In Isaiah 43 and verse 10, before me there was no God formed, neither indeed shall there be after me. Now, strictly, this is not correct, because as you will know, in an earlier tape we pointed out that the name God is applied to Moses, and it's applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is in fact a name that can be imposed upon us in the age to come, as we read in the third chapter of Revelation on verse 12. But what Isaiah is saying in relation to Yahweh is not that there shall be no God formed after him, but that no Ael. So before me there was no Ael formed, neither indeed shall there be after me. Here was the mighty power, the strength of the universe, identified with Yahweh himself. Now there is no other Ael than that, no other the strength or power than that that stems from the great Increate, and neither shall there be after him. All that we see in all this earth, all the mighty manifestations of power, in some way stem from him. Man splits the atom, man uses mighty forces of nature, but all those forces stem from God, so that there is nothing that man uses but what it is God's power. Electricity, anything that you might think or name, it is a power that stems from him. And so the Creator has all power in his hands. So in verse 12, I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am Ael, that I am power. Now who are his witnesses to that end? Both Israel after the flesh and Israel after the spirit. The fact that Israel after the flesh has been preserved down through the ages, in spite of all the persecution heaped upon that nation, demonstrates that God is power. The fact that down through the ages he has called out of the Gentiles a people for his name, and in spite of all the persecution that the Inquisition of Rome or any other power might have heaped against those people, they have maintained their integrity, demonstrates that he has power. And the fact that we are studying his word, and his word is with us today, and that we see in all the earth the manifestations of the signs that speak of Christ's return, demonstrate that he has power. And that when we worship God, we are worshipping one who is absolute in his power, and who indeed can help us, a real living personality of strength and power adequate to every need. So, ye are my witnesses that I am Ael. We go to the next chapter, and here we have four occurrences of the title. First of all, in verse 10, who hath formed a god or molten a graven image? Now here the word is Ael. But there's no strength really in such a god as formed as that. The title is given to this god not because there is any real strength in it, any real power in such a god, but because those that form that God act as though there is power in it, and therefore in their mind there is power in it, and they act as though there is power in it. So who hath formed a God? Here is man that has formed power, but how pitifully weak is that power. Now I have just the same title in verse 15. He maketh a power. How foolish for man. He maketh a power. How can that power help man, seeing man made that power, or the power of that God that he is making? Of course, when I say he maketh a power, what I mean is he maketh a God. He shapes a God, and he gives that God power, and he falls down and worships that God, and to him that God represents power. Much the same as in the world today, men are doing the same thing, and they are worshipping gods of silver and of stone. I mean their bank balance. They're worshipping big business. They're worshipping the power that these things seem to grant unto them. And to a measure it seems as though there is power with these things, and in a sense there is power with that which they labour to accumulate. But at time of death, where is their power? So it is with these gods that men worshipped in the past. Now you have the same title again in verse 17 in the two occurrences of the word God there. The residue thereof he maketh ale, he maketh a god. And thou art, he prayeth unto it, and he saith, deliver me, for thou art my strength. Thou art my ale. But where is there any strength or any power in such a god as that? Isaiah chapter 45, and we have two very, very significant verses here. In verses 14 and 15. Now the chapter is dealing with Cyrus, who is described as Yahweh's anointed, verse 1. We know that Cyrus was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he overthrew Babylon. We know that he diverted the course of the river Euphrates, and so entered secretly into that city and overwhelmed it when the whole of the populace was given over to that feast recorded in the 5th chapter of Daniel. And he stands here as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophecy that Isaiah uttered concerning Cyrus over 100 years before the incident occurred can apply equally to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Cyrus is a type of Christ. And we know that when we turn to the 16th chapter of Revelation and read the account concerning the sixth vial and the drying Euphrates and the croaking frogs and the divided city of Babylon and these other symbols in the 16th chapter of Revelation, that the symbology of that chapter is drawn from the overwhelming of Babylon by Cyrus in ancient times. So that Cyrus is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the soldiers of Cyrus were typical of the brethren of Christ who shall assist him in the overthrowing of the nations in the age to come. They constitute the kings of the east of Revelation chapter 16. Now, in verse 13, Yahweh says concerning Cyrus, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith Yahweh Sabaoth. Now this was true of Cyrus. It is more true of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the prophecy goes on to say, thus saith Yahweh, the labour of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down before thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee. There is none else. There is no God. Now, the first the first occurrence of the word God is the word ale. It signifies power. Surely ale is in thee. Now this is what the nations are going to say in the age to come, when the mighty manifestation of power is exhibited by the Lord Jesus Christ and his brethren. When Armageddon has been fought, and they have seen God's power unleashed upon them, and the whole world has been subjected to the power of Jesus Christ and his saints, they're going to say, ale is in thee. They're going to say, God is in you. Remember what we read in an earlier tape from the 5th chapter of Romans, verses 1 and 2, where Paul says, we are in hope of the glory of God. Or the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 3rd chapter of Revelation, verse 12, when he says, to him that overcometh, I will name upon him the name of my God, where the nations are going to see that the power of God is in the saints. Remember the words of Thomas when he saw the evidence of the risen Christ and he said unto him, my Lord and my God. Virtually what Thomas was saying is, surely ale is in thee. And it's what the world is going to say to the saints of the age to come. Surely ale is in thee. Now the next word is the word Elohim. It's a plural word. And virtually what the prophecy is saying is that the people shall say, surely ale is in thee, there is none else, there is no Elohim, no mighty ones apart from thee. The word before Jesus Christ and the saints will be manifested. The leaders of the nations are mighty ones today. They stand up as the giants of this present age. But they're going to be swept right out of the way. And there'll be no mighty ones apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and his saints. And therefore, they will say, ale is in thee. They'll recognize a supreme power that is manifested through the saints. That supreme power will be Yahweh. And they shall say, surely ale is in thee. And then we read in verse 15, verily thou art ale that hidest thyself, O Elohim of Israel, the Saviour. Now, here is ale, the mighty power of the universe, hidden in his mighty ones, the Elohim, who are revealed as the Saviour of Israel and the world. So you see, in this word ale, we have the presence of Yahweh. In the word Elohim, we have his multitudinous manifestation in the glorified saints. And in the word Saviour, we have the work of those saints in the age to come. So you have in that one verse, ale, Elohim, and Saviour. And the mighty power of Yahweh manifested through the multitudinous glorified saints, the body of Christ, will become as Saviour unto the world. In verse 20, we have the word again. But here we have it applied to the idols that men think are manifestations of power. They pray unto Baal that cannot save. On the other hand, notice verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I Yahweh? And there is no God else beside me. The word is Elohim there. No God apart from me. A just ale and a saviour. There is none beside me. So you see, here is Yahweh. The word Elohim, representing the multitudinous manifestation of Yahweh, either in his angels or in the glorified saints. There is the word ale, which is God's power that is manifested through these mighty ones. And there is his status as Saviour of humanity. And so in verse 22 he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am ale. I am strength, I can save, and there is none else. Now notice as you read this particular chapter, how much more one will receive out of a verse when the names and titles of deity are understood. You see, in verse 14, surely ale, divine power is in thee. Verse 15, thou art ale, power that hidest thyself. Verse 22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ends of the earth, for I am power, I am strength, and there is none else. And so, the names and titles of deity do help to illustrate and to enrich the word of God. We pass on to chapter 46 and verse 6. And here again the prophet is reverting to these idols. He maketh a god. They fall down and worship it. He maketh a god, and the word is ale. There is no real power in such a one, but the idolaters made these gods and imagined that they were manifestations of power. Verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. And the first use of the word is the word ale. I am power, and there's none else. No other power beside me. There are other gods. Because we read in the Psalms, don't we, that he is a great king above all the gods, all the Elohim. We read the words of Thomas, my Lord and my God. But he says, I am God, I am El. And that is the difference. There is only one power, there is only one strength, and that strength is Yahweh's. There's only one strength or power, and it doesn't matter whether the Lord Jesus Christ manifests that power, whether the glorified saints manifest it, whether Moses exhibited it when he went into Pharaoh. It's all the same power. It is the power of Yahweh. I am God. I am strength. And there is no power besides this. Now that finishes the consideration of Isaiah. And we pass on now to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 18. Jeremiah 32 verse 18. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty El, Yahweh of hosts, is his name. So here we have the mighty El, and applied to Yahweh. The next reference in Jeremiah, there are only two occurrences of this title in Jeremiah. The next is in chapter 51 and verse 56. And there we read of Yahweh, God of recompenses, he who will be the strength of recompenses. Remember the the word excuse me, the word Yahweh signifies he who will be. Here we have the word Yahweh, El, he who will be the strength of recompenses. So that we are reminded here that Yahweh will recompense because he has the power and the might to do so. We pass on to the next book, Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto El in the heavens, to the mighty power of the heavens. God in the heavens. God not in the abstract, but God who is a very real person and who manifests very real power. In Ezekiel chapter 10, in Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 5, we read of the voice of the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the voice of the mighty God. And here we have the term El Shaddai, a term that we will be referring to again later on, God willing. We pass on to Ezekiel chapter 28. In Ezekiel chapter 28, we have several occurrences of the word. In verse 2, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord Yahweh, Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God. Here the word is El. He set himself up as divine power, probably referring to the divine right of kings. Divine power, anyway. I sit in the seat of the mighty ones, Elohim. In the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, not El. Thou didst set thine heart as the heart of God, so that thou art a man and not El. Thou art not strength. And therefore, here, the king of Tyre is claiming to be a power he is not. In verse 9, Wilt thou not yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God, but thou shalt be a man and no God? And here the second occurrence of the word God is the word El. You have no power whatsoever. That concludes the consideration of this title as far as Ezekiel is concerned. There are a couple of references to it in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4, we have the statement, the great and dreadful El, that keepeth covenant of mercy to them that love him. So we have this mighty power that doth keep covenant. And in the 11th chapter of Daniel, verse 36, we have, he shall magnify himself above every god, and speak marvelous things against the God of gods. So here we have those that imagine themselves to be of power on earth, contrasted to the power of the powers that is in the heavens, the great increate, Yahweh in the heavens, whose name is synonymous with power. We pass on to Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. And there we speak of there the prophet speaks of the sons of the living Isle, the sons of the living God. The word is Isle. So here is a strength and a power that is not inanimate, but lives. And that is a great thing that I must emphasize at this particular point, because I've been speaking of God as power. And I don't mean to imply by that it is inanimate power. He is a living God, and therefore Ael is a living power. He is one who lives and one who manifests power, and the whole of the universe is held into position by the great power that stems from him. We pass on to the 11th chapter of Hosea and verse 9. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am Ael and not man. Now, here we have an interesting use of the title, because it is used in this sense that he is prepared to execute mercy. Therefore, he has the strength, the power, the ability to blot out sins and to execute mercy, because he is Ael and not man. He is not limited as man is limited. Again, in verse 12, we have another use of the title. Ephraim encompasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with Ael, and is faithful with the saints. Now both Ephraim and Judah were mouthing the name of God. But Ephraim was doing it without understanding. They were not recognizing the strength that was inherent in Yahweh at that particular time. They might mouth the name of Yahweh, but they didn't recognize his power. Now Judah still ruleth with Ael. That is to say, still recognize the power of Almighty God. From there we pass on to Jonah. And in Jonah we have an occurrence of this title. Jonah chapter 4 and at verse 2. And there Jonah says, I knew that thou art a gracious God. And the word is Ael. In other words, he knew that God would exercise his power to render favor unto Nineveh. He wanted the destruction of Nineveh. But he knew that Yahweh was a gracious Ael. And this power is not vindictive, it's merciful and gracious. And Jonah recognized that. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18 is the next occurrence of this title. And there we have a statement concerning the salvation of Israel. Who is a God like unto thee? Again, the word is Ael. Who is Ael like unto thee? Why? Because his mighty power is manifested in pardoning iniquity, in helping Israel, in redeeming that nation, in restoring it to its land. Are not these manifestations of mighty power? And that is what Micah saw. Who is a power like thee that is able to do this? Able to bring Israel back from all parts of the earth and plant them in their land? Able to redeem the nation and regenerate the nation, able to pardon iniquity. What a mighty power is this. What a benevolent power is this. What great favor and forgiveness that mighty, animate power of the heavens manifests towards Israel. It's quite interesting to notice that the word Micah means who like God, and therefore is almost a play upon the name here. Who is a God like unto thee? And it's like a play upon the name Micah. In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2, we learn that Ael is jealous. That is, we cannot trifle with this mighty power. God is not one that we worship merely upon a Sunday. He is one whom we must recognize as a powerful one right throughout every day of the week. Now he is jealous. He will not tolerate second place to anybody. And therefore, recognizing that he is jealous, we must observe the principles of that name and worship him in truth. We come to the seventh chapter of Zechariah. And in verse 2 we have the reference to the house of God. When they had sent unto the house of God. Now here we have two words, Bethel. And so actually we have not a reference to God himself here at all. It is a reference to Bethel or Bethel. When they of Bethel sent, these words can be rendered. So this is the place of Bethel. You know, the place where Jacob rested as he went from the house of his father, and he came to the city of Luz, tired out, and he found the city closed against him. He rested upon in the open field upon one of the stones of Bethel, and he saw the vision that showed him the angels of Yahweh ascending and descending upon the ladder. It was the place Bethel. Now this is the word here, and in the revised version this is translated as Bethel. We come for the final occurrences of this word in the Old Testament, and of course it does not occur in the New, in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 9. And now I pray you, beseech Ael that he will be gracious unto us. Pray unto him who is power to help, that he might be gracious unto us. So they turned to Ael. They spake among themselves of Ael, and they recognized that in this one there was the one who had the power to perform what they desired. In verse 10 of chapter 2 of Malachi, we have another occurrence of the word, hath not Ael created us? Are we not manifestations of his mighty power? Of course we are. Now if his mighty power is manifested in us, well then we should turn to him that he might help us. In verse 11 you have again the a reference to the same title, but here again it's applied to the idols, the daughter of a strange god. Now that concludes the usage of the term in that way. However, the word Ael has also been rendered in other ways. For example, if you turn back to Psalm chapter 29 and verse 1, you will find where the word Ael has been translated by the word mighty, and in quite an interesting way. In Psalm chapter 29 and verse 1, give unto Yahweh, O ye mighty. Now he's speaking to the worshippers. They are mighty because Yahweh's power through his word is in them. So that word mighty is the word Ael. In Psalm 50 and verse 1, the mighty God, even Yahweh, hath spoken. And there we have the word Ael in the term mighty. Actually, there are three words there applied to God. Ael, Elohim, Yahweh. The Brother Thomas, I believe, translates that, the mighty one, he who shall be manifested in the mighty ones, hath spoken. So here we have the word Ael translated mighty. So you can see the sense of might being found in this word. In Psalm 82 and verse 1, we read that God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. That is, he's manifested in the midst of Israel, or in the midst of the ecclesia. And that nation, or that ecclesia, is a congregation of the mighty. It's a congregation where God's power should be made manifest. There is seen Ael. Again, it is translated mighty in Psalm 89 and 6. You have it rendered mighty one in Ezekiel 31 verse 11, strong in Ezekiel 32 verse 21, power in Genesis 31 verse 29, Proverbs 3 verse 27, Micah 2 verse 1.